The following is a talk by Dr. Kate Lister from the third evening of Leeds Love Month 2003 on the topic of relationships. They ask whether there are evolutionary reasons to think humans are monogamous. Their presentation was followed by one from Dr. Pilar Lopez-Quintero and a Q&A. And both are also available as podcasts. Leeds Love Month was organised by the Centre for Love, Sex and Relationships at the University of Leeds, and we hope to improve relationships by studying intimacy. You can follow the Centre on social media for news of future events and publications. The talk series was generously funded by the Society for Applied Philosophy.
I'm talking to you kind of broadly about the history of monogamy, and that's, I'm going to be very careful because there are people in this room who've got quite an investment in that concept. So everything that I say, just take it with a pinch of salt, and if you need to leave afterwards and go, that woman was full of shit, that's absolutely fine. Absolutely fine. All right, so first up, what does sperm tell us about monogamy? One of the questions that I get asked a lot, and you see this question being debated all the time, whether it's fuckboys with a podcast on the internet or like philosophers, are humans supposed to be monogamous? Are we supposed to do it? And if we're supposed to be monogamous, why are we so rubbish at it? And if we're rubbish at it, why do we keep trying to do it? And again, there'll be lots of people in this room going, I'm very monogamous, thank you very much. Brilliant, you have a gold star. That's, but I'm just general, okay? There are some interesting things, especially the evolutionary biologists would tell us. We'll start with sperm. Sperm is an interesting, is it an animal? So that's a philosophical point to even get going with. Sperm is interesting because it coagulates within seconds of leaving the human body. And the reason that it does this is because it coagulates into something called a cervical plug. Sexy time. And it does this because it's expecting competition. It does this to try and stop competitive sperm getting to the egg. And humans are by no means the only animal this happens in. This is incredibly common. And if you thought that you would see weird snake porn, you're right. This is the mating plug in a snake. What this tells us, and if you want to ruin your day, do give this a Google when you get home. But what this tells us is that sperm is expecting there to be competition. The reason that that happens is because it thinks there's going to be other sperm there. So on a evolution, the argument has been made that we're not supposed to be monogamous, sperm says so. Just something for us to think about. The other thing that evolutionary biologists have pointed out to is the penis. Of course, the font of all information. The argument has been made that the shape of the penis, yeah, we are going there. The coronal ridge, if you need this information later, right? Buckle up, this is worse than the mating plug. The argument has been made that the reason that the penis is this shape is because the thrusting action during heterosexual procreative sex, it's supposed to help get competing sperm out of the way. It's supposed to act like a shovel to remove sperm within the vaginal cavity. I didn't make this up. Go and have a look. These are interesting things because they raise the question, if your body, if your penis, if your sperm is on a mission and it just the idea of being monogamous hasn't even come into it, are humans supposed to be monogamous at all? Another question that we get asked is, are animals monogamous? Well, I've shown you that they're mating plugs already, so this. But we like to think of them as possibly being monogamous, at least in Disney films. Right, we don't like to think of, I don't know, Bambi's mum cheating. But what we're talking about, if you're talking about real monogamy, as in you fall in love with and pair bond and stay with the first person that you have ever fallen in love with, and this is the person that you stay faithful with forever and ever and ever and ever, and you are not even tempted by anyone else, that is so rare. That is so, so rare in the animal kingdom. In fact, I mean, they call it genetic monogamy. There is a handful, and I mean a handful, of animals that are actually properly, truly genetically monogamous. There is the California mouse, well done. There is the Malagasy giant jumping rat, for reasons. And then I put question marks next to these ones because we thought that they were genetically monogamous for a long time, and then some of them got caught cheating around and letting the side down. So now they can't make that claim anymore. But prairie voles, swift foxes, golden-cheeked gibbons, and I put lobsters there because anyone who was a child of the 90s, like I was, grew up on Friends and going, he's our lobster. No, lobsters are quite slutty. Sorry to have to be the one to break this to you, but lobsters do what most animals in the animal kingdoms do, which is that they pair bond for a period of time and they try really hard not to have sex with anyone else during that time. And then they kind of go their own way. They pair bond for about a week, 2 weeks. So it's more of like a holiday romance than anything else. They are what's called social monogamists, which is much more common in the animal kingdom. Social monogamy is where a pair bond is formed for a period of time, and then they'll mate with somebody else and the pair bond will be formed again, right? So it's really monogamous one at a time, which is kind of what we do. That's the most common one. Right, so what about humans? Here we go. So one quote here from a 2019 literature review on human mating patterns concluded, while there are many ethnographic examples of variation across human societies in terms of marriage patterns, extramarital affairs, the stability of relationships, and the ways in which fathers invest, the pair bond is a ubiquitous feature of human mating relationships. It might sound like I'm being kind of down on us as a species, going, look, the sperm says so, the penis says so, we're not prairie voles. We're not supposed to be monogamous. Actually, the pair bond, what we might call falling in love, you might even call it marriage, is across all cultures, all times, all people. We fall in love. And what we do when we're in that period is we often, you don't have eyes for anyone else. It doesn't mean it lasts forever and ever and ever. But we do fall in love. Okay. The concept of monogamy, why have I put... I didn't realize he had his willy out. Right. The concept of monogamy is actually it's a bit of a conundrum to evolutionary biologists. Obviously, we do it, we engage in it, but why we do it is very difficult to understand. Because if you think about it, it doesn't actually make a lot of sense. If the point of us, from a really basic level, is to make babies, I'm not saying that's the only point, we'll have a philosophical debate about that in the bar later, but an evolutionary biologist might say such a thing. Monogamy is a weird one. You've heard the idea that, like, oh, men, you know, they're supposed to be cavemen, they're supposed to sow their wild oats, they're supposed to, yeah, well, so are women. So are women. If the point is that we're making genetically healthy babies, we should all be shagging as many different people as possible all of the time, because then you get a wide net over the genetic gene pool and you increase your chances of reproduction. So why do we do it? There've been lots and lots of theories put forward. They look like that. Of people sat around going, it is strange. Why do we do that? Why do we fall in love? Why do we want to do that? And nobody really knows for sure. These are lots of competing theories. At what point in our human history did we go, do you know what? I like you, you like me. Should we go and buy furniture together in IKEA of the weekend? It's a strange one. So what is going on? We'll come back to some of these. What we see throughout most of history is something called polygyny, which is where men have multiple female partners. That is a system that has been entrenched for centuries. You'll see a man and they'll have mistresses, right? We see that all the time, even in societies where we go, marriage is sacred, marriage really important, marriage, marriage, marriage. It was often quite common for a man to have a bit on the side, a mistress, especially if you were upper class. If you're upper class, then it's a mistress. If you're lower class, it's a side piece. It's a whole thing. But you can see this polygyny all throughout history, right? Polyandry, a woman with multiple male partners, much rarer. Much surprise. Much, much rarer. You do get examples of it still today in Tibet, where we have something called fraternal polyandry, which is where a woman can marry the brothers. I'm not sure how I feel about that one, but, you know, you do you. There are examples of it. Right, okay. Religion obviously got involved. Certain Abrahamic religions pushing the idea that one man, one woman, get married, the sacrament of God, etc., etc., etc. So if people can see that, do I need to like duck down? So we see laws coming in Judaism in about the first century. In the early 1200s, the Christian Catholic Church took control of marriage and said, right, this is our thing. We do that now. And that it had to be one man, one woman. And St. Augustine chipped in, as he usually does, in an attempt to abolish it in the 4th century ACE. By it, I mean extramarital affairs and pushing the idea that it's one man, one woman. So what you see is this model of monogamy emerging, but it doesn't mean that we were good at it. It just means it pushed the idea that it was bad not to do it. In fact, in many ways, we have been very accepting of non-monogamy, especially if you're rich. Especially if you're rich. Mistresses, for example, a fabulous hustle if you were a woman in the past. Not so much now. I think the money's gone out of it. Mind you, Camilla has gone all the way, hasn't she? Like, she played that well. So, you know, what must I say? Yeah, put that on your CV. Right. The concept of the royal mistress was so entrenched in that culture that Frederick I of Prussia, in the 18th century, he really loved his wife and everyone thought it was really weird. He really, really loved his wife, but he was under pressure to have a mistress, so he had a mistress and he never had sex with her. He just put her in a nice house and gave her jewels and crowns and said she's the mistress and never had sex with her. That's how entrenched that is, that he was supposed to put it around. That is a sweet gig. If you can get that, that is, whoo. But it's interesting ideas about monogamy. What do we mean by that? Do we mean fidelity just to your wife? Do we mean monogamy and marriage aren't the same thing? They never have been. So why do we keep trying? I'm going to talk you through some of my favorite theories. You might have your own as to why human beings do this instead of pair bonding and being completely monogamous forever or just giving up on it and just going, do you know what? We're just kind of slutty. We're just going to go with that. So one of them is that we have concealed ovulation. I just love the idea of evolutionary biologists sat around going, ooh, maybe it's that. What they mean by that is there's no way of telling when you are in estrus, when you are fertile. So the idea if you're around somebody all the time and you can have sex with them all the time and you always have sexual access to them, you don't necessarily have to know when they are fertile. That's the theory, that you don't know. You don't know when someone's ovulating. Mind you, I don't know how true that is. If you followed me around Morrison's crying in the sweetie aisle, you might be able to tell. The other one is sexual dimorphism, which is size difference, right? The idea that, so normally in the animal kingdom, when there is a significant size difference between the male and the female, they will be non-monogamous. And the theory goes that way back when, and I'm talking like 4 million years, there was a bigger difference in the sizes between men and women. That's one of the theories. But my personal favorite is testy size. I really like this one, just because it makes me laugh. I don't know if it's true. I'm just here for it. So this is the argument which was explored in a 2019 paper, and it goes like this. Adjusting for body size, human testes are smaller than would be predicted. And when compared to our closest living relatives, are considerably smaller than those of chimpanzees. Together, this provides evidence of a relatively low rates of sex outside of a pair bond. Turns out in the animal kingdom, the more monogamous an animal is, the smaller his testes are. So I love that. So we're supposed to be monogamous. I don't know, men just don't have the balls for monogamy. I don't know what that's saying. But I really like them. But the overriding theory as to why humans have come up with this monogamous system is to do with child rearing, which doesn't sound very romantic. It doesn't get a Disney film and it's not like, oh, but if you think about it, I don't know much about human children because I don't have any, but what I do know about them is they're kind of rubbish. Like they can't walk, they can't talk, they just fall on the floor. And if you leave them on their own, they will die. Yeah, it takes a while before they can even start to look after themselves. They're super, super vulnerable. Whereas something like a giraffe or a gazelle, or those goats that are climbing mountains just as soon as thonk and it's off up the hill. Humans can't do that. So the theory has emerged that we have to pair bond for significant periods of time because we have to raise the babies because our babies are shit. But they're cute and we like them. But that's the argument. So these are the reasons. So is social monogamy natural for humans? It may sound like I've been really down on monogamy. And the answer to that is yes, actually. We are monogamous. We're not genetically monogamous. We're not those animals that they fall in love and stay with the first thing that they've seen ever, ever. We are socially monogamous, like most of the animal world, which means that we try really, really hard at doing it. Now, I don't think that any of this is going to get you off the hook if you stray, if you try and explain to your partner that your testes are quite small, or or about diamorphic theories from 4 million years ago. But humans are monogamous, socially monogamous creatures. And if you are somebody that has fallen in love with the first person that you've ever met, and you're still with them and you still love them and you're never going to be with anyone else ever, ever again, then you need to report to the Museum of Natural History immediately, because you are a very, very special monkey. So thank you very much. Thank you.